Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Two guys who eat the chocolate bunny ears first. What's up, kids? You're listening to the Chad and Cheese Podcast. I'm your co-host, Joel Francis Scott Key Cheeseman.
This Chad, is that a toxic culture? So watch.
And on this week's episode, Indeed hates veterans. The AI talent wars heat up, and Florida just keeps Florida-ing. Let's do this.
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey, kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener, get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos.
Welcome home.
Welcome home. Welcome home. So, Chad, we're both married.
Yeah.
And we know that there tends to be some lines you can't cross where at least my wife will say, look, if you do X, we're divorcing.
Done.
Right. And this is usually, cheating, cooking meth in the basement, kicking puppies, stuff like that. So my wife gave me a new one this week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It was, if you buy shares of Truth Social, I will divorce you. So this is Donald Trump's lifeline, I think, to his economic troubles. I do like this the ticker symbol, which is DJT for Donald J. Trump.
Anybody think it was going to be anything different?
I thought that was an interesting ticker symbol to choose. Yeah. Needless to say, although the stock did pretty well along with Reddit this week, although Reddit's coming back to earth, and I'm sure DJT will as well.
It's a great money laundering scheme is what it is.
Did not I mean, buy any shares. I was
he they say that he has to wait 6 months to be able to cash out, and unless the board, who are all his people, say that he can go ahead and cash out.
So yeah, it's a
great ultimatum. Way to go, Christine.
Any thoughts on the Reddit IPO? I was really hopeful that it would sort of break the dam on IPOs, which initially I thought it would, and a lot of the pundits were saying so, but it's kind of coming back to earth.
Why would it break the dam?
I mean, it basically doubled this week and now it's coming back to earth. But if any IPO that comes out that isn't Birkenstock and it's like tech and it does well, like Stripe is waiting to go public. I mean,
it's a message board.
Totally.
So all of these people that I hear talking about, like, you know, this is going to be it. This is going to happen. It's going to go to the moon. It's like, what? Where the fuck? We're talking about AI. We're talking about some of the most fluid systems of today. Velocity of tech moving so fast. Not this. This is not it. This has nothing to do with all of the really cool conversations we've been having. So I don't understand why all these quote unquote pundits. And again, I mean, I'm not giving out financial advice, but there's no way in fucking hell I'm going to put my money into a 1979 Gremlin. It doesn't make any sense.
And by the way, their users hate advertising and won't pay a subscription fee for anything.
It doesn't make any sense.
I agree. Although selling the data could be pretty profitable. All these LLMs that need content and stuff to use for learning.
And then if that happens, guess what? All the people are going to eject and there's not going to be any data to be had. So, I mean, it's just, again, it's a fucking message board, dude, with sub message boards. I mean, come on. This is 1990s shit. We did this.
I am not pitching Reddit to you. I am not like pitching it.
I just don't get it. I don't understand. I just don't understand.
There's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Look, the IPO market's been dry for a long time.
So put it in a
literally
turd?
Birkenstock was the last exciting one. People want to spend money. They want an exciting IPO. God.
Man, we'll get into that. Okay. So somebody who's not excited right now, there's some rumors over at Smart Recruiters. Remember a few weeks ago when Smart Recruiters acquisition was fumbled? We called it botched, but it was fumbled. My sources say that CEO Michael DeSimone is out and Chief Product Officer Rebecca Carr is now the interim CEO. For context, Michael was announced as CEO about a year ago, April 18th, 2023. So I'm going to surmise that the fumbled, the botched, whatever you want to call it, acquisition might have been the last straw. So good luck to Michael. Sorry, man. Shit like that happens wherever he lands. Hopefully he does well. And good luck to Rebecca Carr because she's taking over a shit show right now, getting into the head seat. I mean, it's very turbulent times at Smart Recruiters. One system that we used to see is kind of like new age applicant tracking system with all this new tech that's coming out. And then the paradoxes and the shit, the fountains and the Harry's and whatnot. I mean, they're really recreating what talent acquisition and talent management and whatnot. And now she's got to take over this jalopy, this gremlin. I mean, good luck, Rebecca. Good luck.
Take over and take off.
Take off, Lee. We're doing our movie. Don't wreck our show,
they're
you
not
hoser.
Canadian, but okay.
How many, man, my memory sucks on this, but in the last 24 months, the number of ATSs that have either lost, replaced a CEO is like five-ish, I think, like big names that we know. So it's a tough business. There's no IPO in sight for these companies. I mean, iSIMS, Smart Recruiters, Greenhouse, we've talked about IPOs. Like there seems to be no end of the road that's positive for these ATSs. And you can see it in the management teams. But great scoop. Great scoop. Yeah, Smart Recruiters, man.
There you go.
I got nothing. Well, let's see if I can conjure up a
shout out
for the folks. All right, Chad, we've talked about Veritone, sponsor of the show, by the way, full disclosure on that one. Their stock has been meddling, to say the least, for the last year or so. Well, they finally are out of the cellar, rat style. Their stock has hit 180% increase in the last month, thanks to a positive earnings report, demand for its developer tools. They have a nifty API that apparently is hitting with a lot of developers. And of course, anything with AI on it is going to be doing pretty well in the stock market. But look, they bought PandoLogic, Broadbean. They just got into the Job Network and Jobico. So let's keep our eye on Veritone. Again, we're not recommending stocks one way or the other, but this thing right now is doing very well this year. So I know that the team over there has been struggling. trying to get things back on track. So at least this month, it looks like things are looking good for Veritone. So happy for those. As if they need any better news living in Southern California, riding a boat on the warm waters. And
it doesn't hurt.
Eating shrimp cocktail and a Cobb salad for lunch on Sundays.
It does not hurt. Shout out to companies who rectify bad hiring decisions. What do I mean by that? Well, you might have heard that after being ousted from the Republican National Committee, Chair Ronna McDaniels was then hired by NBC News as a political analyst. Imagine that. And then an employee on-air rebellion ensued, which then meant that NBC News rescinded the job offer to McDaniels. NBC Universal News Group President Cesar Conde said the following, quote, "I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down," end quote. Leadership isn't always about taking the raise when you do the right things. It's also about taking action when you fuck stuff up. And Caesar fucked some stuff up here, and his people knew, and they let him know.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb, for real.
Yeah, this is a hot story that I haven't followed at all. My more left-leaning friends were in a tizzy about this one, and they're happy about the exodus of her. I don't know what she said. Did she have a show? Did she like crossfire somebody in a debate? Like was it just her past that they said she doesn't deserve to be here?
She literally was just pushed out of the RNC. Pushed out of the RNC. And not to mention, she's also, I think, a witness for a lot of the shit that's happening, even especially in Michigan. Yeah. So it was pretty much a bridge too far for any journalist to say that they wanted her on the team. Right. So whether it's right, left, doesn't matter. It's just when you try to overthrow a government and you're leading the charge on that, it's probably a bridge too far.
Well, from one bad hire to maybe a good hire that they could look at. I don't know if you've seen this. Mike Tyson is having a moment. Mike Tyson is having a moment. We talked about him going on Netflix this summer to fight, is it Jake Paul or Logan?
One of the brothers
there.
Yeah. I think they actually have like a tag team set up where they can tag in and out. I could be wrong.
Really? One's a legit fighter.
Yeah.
The other one, I don't think Logan is. If it's not Logan, I'm pretty sure it's Jake. But anyway, Mike Tyson's having a moment. Yeah. He's probably had a decade or a century so far. The Hangover was maybe his peak. But anyway, you know that I love a good edible, Chad. Based on your story from Vegas, you know, I'm just an admirer of them. Well, Mike Tyson is as well. So New York legalized cannabis. So Tyson Bites are coming to market. Now, you might want to know, what's unique about Tyson Bites? Well, if you know anything about Mike Tyson, you know he fought Evander Holyfield back in the 90s and bit part of his ear off. So, yes, Tyson Bites are in the shape of an ear. So you can do edibles in the shape of an ear and admire Mike Tyson on the packaging as you get loopy on some cannabis. Tyson Bites, shout out to Mike Tyson for having a moment. We've all forgotten about the rape and the beating up of people. America is a great place to forgive and make some cash, everybody.
Yeah, I wonder if Evander gets any money off of this since it was his ear. So, I mean, that's a depiction of his ear. So, therefore, he should get a cut. I mean, makes sense.
That's a great legal argument, Chad. Yeah, makes sense. He certainly should.
Yeah.
And Evander's hurting for money, as far as I know. Having 37 kids sometimes will put you in.
You know what, though? If he signs up for free stuff and they all sign up for free stuff, they can get free T-shirts, right? Who's coming at you from Aaron App. We have a new T-shirt design, kids, that we'll probably release that this week so everybody can partake and they can check it out. But they, from my understanding, Mr. Cheeseman, they are in production. Is that correct?
All right. All right.
Now we go for the free shipping so we don't get the rush order. So it will be a little bit of time, people. Like, it's, but we'll get the goal is it's going to be the summer of Chad and Cheese t-shirts. Okay. Everyone's going to be sporting these at the pool, at the beach.
The pool.
at the local Chipotle and the Dairy Queen.
At the casino. Yeah.
Casino on the Stratosphere.
Yes.
Yes. Free shit. Not only t-shirts, Chad. What else can they get going to chadcheese.com and clicking the free link?
Beer from Aspen Tech Labs, our friends over at Aspen Tech Labs. If you need job content and you want that all nice and scraped all pretty much everybody goes to Aspen Tech Labs. They do the hard stuff. Whiskey from our friends at Text Kernel. We just saw Gerard, or at least I saw Gerard in Amsterdam last week. So great to see those guys. You get two bottles. And last but not least, if it's your birthday, you might be able to win some rum from Plum.
Really? Can you feel the tension in the air right now?
Mm-hmm.
I know I can. I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
I've missed the roll call of birthdays being on the road, Chats. Let's get to it. Like celebrating another trip around the sun. listeners, Timmy Smith, Timo Hillhorst, Josh Wainwright, Brian Barnes, Hayden Hughes, Derek James Bond, Melissa Malcolm in the middle, Megan Sharp, Dan Cheeseman, no relation.
Oh.
Elin Martinzon, that correctly, one of our favorite Swedes, James Holloman, Paulo Barrega, Thomas O'Hara, Simon Evans, Robert Omurwa, Todd Hanford, Nate Menard, Doug Reese, your boy, Keith Robertson, Audra Knight, Jason Warner, Jamie Leonard, one of our favorite Brits, Steve Prout, Steve Levy, Jessica Rush, Mike Timken, who's enjoying retirement from what I understand.
Let's hope.
And last but not least, Jeremy Cheeseman.
Yes.
That's right. My soon-to-be 7-year-old celebrates another trip around the sun. This year. By the way, his birthday coincides with the number of years that this stupid ass podcast has been running. So every time it's his birthday, it reminds me of my mistakes that I've made and the penance that I have to pay every week with
dealing with me every single, more than once a week. It's event times, kids. We have Unleash America happening in Vegas on May 7th through the 9th. Now, Unleash is always a blast. Last year, we did a VIP event on the High Roller, but apparently that wasn't high enough. As this year, the Chad and Cheese are jumping off the Stratosphere in Vegas with Matt, the CEO of Outhire. Can you believe that shit? Now, this is coming from Wikipedia. Listen to this. Skyjump Las Vegas is located at the Strat on the Las Vegas Strip. It holds the Guinness World Record for highest commercial decelerator descent with an official height. Get ready, Cheeseman. 829 feet. We're going to be jumping 829 feet. Now, if you would like to join us or nominate someone to jump, just go to chadcheese.com and right there on the homepage, click on the jump with us button. That's going to be a blast.
Also on Google, there's only been one death jumping on the Stratosphere.
Good.
It was a suicide, though. They weren't strapped in.
That's not the same.
So just make sure you hold my hand and get me strapped in before I fall to my death. All right.
Then we have a VIP event at the Neon Boneyard with Plum. What's the Neon Boneyard, you might ask? Well, it's where all of the neon signs of Vegas, pretty much of yesteryear, they go. They don't die. Yeah. Oh, no. It's going to be a night event, so Plum's attendees can marvel and bask in the glow of neon while we drink and probably enjoy some edibles.
Love the old Hard Rock sign, the guitar.
Yeah.
And allegedly, you're my Vegas news source. They're doing a hotel that's shaped like a guitar.
Yeah.
That'll be the new Hard Rock. Is it true? You've heard that too?
I've heard that, but I've heard it over and over and over. I mean, they have hotels with swimming pools the shape of guitar. They've got, I mean, it's kind of like their shtick. So it wouldn't surprise me. Doesn't make me want to stay there anymore. But
would you stay there if they played K-Boo in the lobby? Would that make you reconsider?
The -5 experience where you go into the cold bar and you put on the coats and stuff like that. We're going to be doing that with Omar and Job Pixel. And that K-Boo is almost like great soundtrack for something like that. You feel like you're in Helsinki. You feel like you need to warm up and you need a little K-Boo.
All right. All right.
Have you been to the ice bar?
No.
No, I haven't either.
I don't like cold stuff.
Yeah. It's very, very cool.
Thanks, Omar.
Like cold stuff. Not necessarily breaking news, Chad, but it's breaking news to us. Kind of went quietly, but
we've been away.
We have been away. employee reward software company Blueboard. Have you heard of them? Maybe seen them at an expo.
Sound familiar
at some point? Yeah, they were kind of a thing 8 years ago. Anyway, they've mysteriously disappeared. They've laid everybody off, and they've gone out of business. So if you're a Blueboard client, I'm sure you're aware of this. They hopefully didn't just walk away. Anyway, they had raised nearly $16 million in Series A funding, founded back in 2014. So the 10-year runway didn't make it. I mean, the employee rewards thing we talk about a lot, and it seemed to like kind of hit its stride in the pandemic, making employees feel nice and special, and apparently didn't work out for Blueboard. So I kind of wonder, all these employee engagement companies, are they on the same path as Blueboard, Blackbeard and Blueboard?
A decade old company that isn't, let's say, for instance, a vital piece of tech. Yeah, I can see that kind of going away or not going IPO. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah. 10 years is a pretty long runway to end it.
For a platform that's not a vital platform, it's not a vital point solution. You don't hear companies who are literally looking for RFPs for these types of platforms.
No. But if you're looking for some folks that have some experience in this industry, go to LinkedIn, check out the Blueboard veterans. They might be looking for work, Chad. Amen. And if they're looking for work, they might be on Indeed, which brings us to our real topics of the week. The Indeed rumor mill keeps churning, Chad. This time, they're rumored to change how employers can contact veterans. Sources say starting April 2nd, Indeed is shifting to resume seats, receiving 10 complimentary resume contacts a month for veterans, down from unlimited outreach messages. But wait, there's more. Indeed is rumored to be sending letters to ad agencies saying organic traffic in the U.S. will no longer be a thing. Don't say we didn't warn you, everybody. Chad, what are your thoughts? And you might have some additional information, as I know that your phone was ringing off the hook before the show.
Yes, definitely phone was blowing up late yesterday and today. So on the veteran side of the house, I mean, it's, to me, that's a so what scenario. They were doing it just for pomp and circumstance and fluff in the first place. Not to mention, you know, companies have no fucking clue what they're looking at when they're looking at military resumes. So,
yeah,
but to me, all of this literally is nothing but a cry for help from Indeed, which is what we've seen. CPA died, CPSA died. Then they started the whole tech community thing. Then they started the Indeed Japan. There's just so much that they're doing right now. They are throwing every piece of spaghetti.
Don't forget Job Tracker, the Android app that didn't succeed, which,
you know, all over the place, right?
Quit
but
too
this,
early on that.
This to me, especially the taking away of organic, is just another bid to soak companies for more money. They're slowly pulling the plug on organic traffic starting in the US. All of my contacts have said, get ready for organic traffic to go away entirely, which means what? Indeed is once again moving toward a 1990s pay-to-play job board model, with the only caveat being CPC, right? Because CPC didn't exist in job boards in the 1990s. So literally, they went from a job search engine and they've reverted. I mean, they've literally regressed back into a job board model. Recruitment ad agencies have been instructed, due to these changes, if your client's jobs are receiving less traffic from the free organic, well, you should probably sponsor jobs. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Indeed's also pitching. This is really just a rebalancing of traffic. So obviously, free has gotten too much, and they needed to get more payment on clicks. So they needed to push more people to clicks. So from my standpoint, this isn't really a rebalancing. This is an old platform that they tried. And again, rumors that I've heard, they've tried to put a ceiling on the number of apps, candidate applications on free jobs. It didn't work. They couldn't make that work. So I guess this old dog just isn't going to hunt. What do you think about the whole CPC thing? It's not surprising. Not to mention, I don't think many recruitment ad agencies that aren't a part of programmatic are going to care, because this is just going to drive up their revenues too.
60% of the time, it works every time.
My take on this is we've seen this story before. Part one was called Career Builder. When private equity moves in to any significant degree, which it did with Indeed, this is what happens. They sharpen the pencils. Where are we wasting money? Where can we make more money? Where can we cut costs, trim fat, et cetera? That's kind of what we're seeing. Like, how do we make the most off pay-per-click? How do we cut out free stuff? How do we make more money on contacting vets? As a veteran, I'm a little surprised that you don't care about that, but that's cool. That's your prerogative. So it's like, how do we make more money? How do we cut more costs? And this is what we're saying. And mark my words, layoffs are coming. Layoffs are coming to Indeed at some point in a significant way. And this is just the canary in the coal mine is all this sort of, how do we milk as much profit as we possibly can? You know, the challenge to me, they just had an investor meeting, I think, and they published online. There's articles if you guys are interested. You know, they're Indeed is so concerned about the transactional nature of job search. Mm-hmm. Like, how do we make applying easier? How do we, like, the problem with job search isn't that it's too hard. It might be that it's too easy, but the transactional nature of it is, to me, not a winning strategy for Indeed. Because programmatic is going to out-transaction probably anything that Indeed does. It needs to be more personal than transactional. We both knock on LinkedIn a lot, and I think fairly so, on, you know, related jobs and jobs for you and things like that. The one thing that Indeed gets LinkedIn gets right is if you search for a job on LinkedIn, it will show you who you know at the company.
Yeah.
First degrees, I went to school with this person, maybe I'm second degree and they know somebody I know. Because if you learn anything from us kids, it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know. And the transactional nature of Indeed and other job sites, like, takes a lot of that personal stuff out of the equation. LinkedIn's secret sauce is the people that are on the site. And I know you don't engage with it, but when people change jobs, look for jobs, they go to LinkedIn. So that network is powerful, and it does help people get jobs. So LinkedIn, to me, is, we're just in a cost-cutting efficiency game at Indeed right now, and maybe an IPO is coming in the future when they maximize profits. To echo your sentiment, it's more spaghetti at the wall. It's more like fear. They're driven by fear and what Google's doing and what AppCast is doing. And so it's just more being unfocused. Maybe they are more focused, but in the wrong places. And we're going to see more craziness from Indeed. Wait till the layoffs come, though. That'll be fun.
What I'm hearing is they should buy Polywork.
They should buy Stepstone, and then Stepstone should buy Career Builder.
All right.
Never
going to
happen.
Right.
So one of the things that they actually said during their virtual investor update was the global HR matching market, composed of job advertising and talent sourcing, direct hire, retained search, internal recruitment automation, and temporary staffing, pretty big, is almost $330 billion, right? The search engine opportunity only represents a portion of that, about 10%, right? Coming in at just over $295 billion, the global marketplace total addressable market reflects the remaining 90%. So the HR matching market, the thing that they're trying to go after, and again, I just don't see it because they don't have the technology. Unless they actually rebuild infrastructure, they can't get it done. They're matching it shit. They don't have a network to be able to lean on like LinkedIn does, right? Everything that they could have built and or acquired by this time, they just haven't, right? And it drives me crazy as you see a company with this much fucking money. They have tried to go down funnel. Mm-hmm. And they've done a shitty job of it. They have an interviewing platform that just fucking flopped, right? Mm-hmm. And they've pretty much given up on it. You can't. You've got to double down and find out what the issues are, and you've got to go down funnel. These guys, I don't know who the fuck is running the ship over there, but I've said it and I'll say it again. Chris Himes needs to fire himself.
I love that their new motto is simplify hiring, and they own Simply Hired. Like, I don't know if that was planned or what that is. You know, in between you and I cabbage patching and doing the Running Man, in between Cabo stints at the e-Congress conference in Amsterdam, there was a sentiment of like, people won't search for jobs anymore. Jobs will find them. And it seems that Indeed is in this sort of misdirection of reinventing what they do. And I'm not sure they should.
It's smoke.
Give me a box. Let me put in some keywords. Let me go to a site and apply. Like, back to basics wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for this company. They're not Google. They don't have the resources.
It's not that hard to be able to upfront screen to ensure that people are qualified before they actually go on to apply, which means you can charge more for that click because you know that they're a qualified candidate. I mean, just the basic shit. They can't get the basic shit right. If you want to be able to build a model to be able to charge more for it, you have to provide more value. You're not providing more value. You're providing shitty matching. Makes no fucking sense.
Because they're slaves. They're slaves to the clicks. Clicks is money. So let's two-paying this shit. Let's... I mean,
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
When you're, it's like the blogger slaver, you know, media company slave to clicks.
It's ridiculous.
Like, we need the clicks. So it's not about, they always preach it's about the user.
They don't give two shits about the user. Yes.
And your bottom line.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway. All right. Let's move on.
Fucking Indeed.
Let's talk about the AI wars. Man, shit's heating up.
It's great.
Mustafa Suleiman. Uh-huh. Co-founder of Google's DeepMind, has been appointed as CEO of Microsoft's AI division, overseeing consumer products like Copilot, Bing, and Edge. Microsoft is competing with OpenAI, Google, and other big tech companies in the AI race, and this move strengthens its strategy. Yeah, poaching from Google, that'll do it. But wait, there's more. Anthropic's Claude 3 Opus large language model has surpassed OpenAI's GPT-4 on the chatbot arena leaderboard. That sounds like a party.
Yeah.
That sounds like a party. Everybody's leaving Reddit for the chatbot arena leaderboard, a popular crowdsourced platform for AI researchers. This marks the first time a non-OpenAI model has taken the top spot. And, Chad, the information is reporting Mark Zuckerberg is personally mailing Google's DeepMind talent to join Meta AI without having to interview for the company. That's a lot of Warren, Chad.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I just think this is a great setup for our next, you know, side of topics on the HR side.
Yeah.
This is incredibly hot. We're going to see a convergence of technology. All of this technology that we're talking about now, the big names, the Googles, the Microsofts, you know, whether it's cloud, it's DeepMind, Gemini, it doesn't matter. All of this is coming to our space. Period. And everything, there's going to be this amazing overlap. So when we talk about this outside of the HR side of the house, it's because, kids, it's coming.
Well, real quickly, I want to add to that. You know, if you're the number of people that do this and know it and can build stuff around it is a small number. And they have a nice safety net called big tech. So there's a ton of venture capitalists in the Valley and probably elsewhere that says, look, yeah, you could go to Microsoft, you could go wherever, but let me give you $50 million and you guys go build whatever the hell you want, and then it's yours. And if it fails, you can go work at Deep, wherever you want, if it does fail. So to your point, a lot of people are going to jump ship to big tech, but a lot of people are going to say, you know what, I'm smart enough to run my own company. Here's someone willing to write me a check. Let's rock, baby. And yes, you're going to see this in HR and every other field, but let's talk about what we're seeing in our space just this week alone. Toronto-based Borderless AI has emerged from stealth with, get this, $27 million in seed funding for Alberni.
Uh-huh.
Alberni, not the best name. I don't know if they're from Alberta and just through an AI. Anyway, it's AI-powered HR assistant, which automates onboarding, management, and payment processes for international team members and can answer employment law, finance, and tax queries in 170 languages. That's a few jobs. That's a few people that do those jobs at companies. What's more, powered by NVIDIA, your boy,
yes.
Hippocratic AI has raised $53 million in Series A funding, bringing its total to $120 million with a valuation of $500 million. Think digital nurses who can answer your colonoscopy questions pre and post surgery, healthcare, everything HR, AI is coming for everyone. Chad, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so right out of the gate, the Hippocratic, holy shit, dude, did you watch the demo? There's an AI discharge nurse who's following up after a surgery and they actually tape a call.
Yep.
It's amazing and it's incredibly fluid. The estimated cost of this nurse, discharge nurse, her name was Linda, that's around $9 an hour. So, I mean, again, not cheap, although you've got to remember Linda can scale, the bot Linda can scale, where the human Linda can only do one call at a time, right? So this just makes a hell of a lot of sense. Plus, you said the magic word, NVIDIA. I mean, NVIDIA's in, I'm in. I was impressed. I was very impressed with just the demo that they had. And you take a look at Borderless. I mean, what perfect timing to play off the success of Deel and their latest acquisitions and reporting that they are enjoying $500 million in ARR. Borderless touts that they do payroll, benefits, taxes, compliance, all that boring shit that nobody wants to do, right? And they've got the AI agents, which you talked about. I think from our standpoint, nursing is distressed. They need help. So therefore, here comes AI. On the HR side, there's so many bullshit administrative tasks. Here comes AI, right? I don't see it taking jobs as much as I see it taking tasks that take those humans away from what they need to be doing, and that's being more human and working with other humans and employees and so and patients and so on and so forth. So to me, this is all exciting. This block, just watching and listening and learning about what's happening in AI, what then watching some of those things start to bleed into our space. I say it year after year after year, and it's still true. This year is the most exciting year in this space ever, period.
Those are big words.
It's just getting better.
So not only can Linda help me figure out what this bump on my ass is, she can also tell me what my vacation PTO time is for this year. So the digital clones are coming for every opportunity. You know, I think, you know, to your point, we've done two conferences this year already. And the question, are all of our jobs gone? Is a typical theme at these conferences. And it's, to me, it's amusing how much experts dance around the issue of, no, we're not losing jobs, or only people who don't know AI are losing their jobs, or no, you just have to know AI to augment your job. Honestly, no one probably knows the answer, but I find it hard to understand where there's not a world where there are fewer people doing some of these jobs. I don't think you'll need as many people. Now you'll have to have people that understand how to use this shit and do it well. I don't think it's just going to be a magic wand and all these things are done. That's just unfortunately not the case for anything. But the point is, this shit's coming and we got more stories about this. And next week we'll have more stories. And the week after that, we'll have more stories.
It's not going away.
By the way, Miso Robotics, the Flippy company, they got new. They're still rocking. We don't talk about them much, but they're still doing their thing. Yeah. My concern is that we'll lose listeners. Because if there aren't more recruiters and there aren't more vendors doing this, like
I think we've got a few years before we have to start worrying about that.
We got a few years, which means our advertisers still love us, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. Make sure you listen to the ads, everybody, because without ads, there's no Chad. There's no cheese.
Yeah.
And there's no happiness if there's no Chad and cheese. We'll be right back.
Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent, build great teams, and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com.
Let's talk immigration, Chad. I don't know if you've watched any of the news channels on your TV set, but immigration is kind of a big story, not only here but around the world.
It's so scary.
Yeah. So the Wall Street Journal story recently kind of clarified that it's maybe not awful. The story says despite the debate around the merits of the current levels of immigration, economists at major firms on Wall Street argue it has been a major boon for the economy and added trillions of dollars to U.S. gross domestic product. The benefits of this influx have not escaped the attention of policymakers, such as Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell, who say migration has boosted employment, fueled consumer spending, and eased post-pandemic labor shortages. My God, Chad, let's all get off the ledge for a second. What are your thoughts?
I think balance is key. There's no question. But we've got to ask ourselves these questions. Does productivity stall when vital roles aren't filled? Of course they are. Productivity plummets. Will roads pave themselves? No. Will packages deliver themselves? No.
Will
not
bridges
today.
Rebuild themselves?
Not today, right? We can't keep pace and drive an economy if our infrastructure is worn and our products are not being created, delivered, and serviced. And that's a problem, right? So you're talking about your friend. What should they do? They should look for the gaps. Immigrants are filling the gaps in our workforce economy by filling positions and driving productivity. Also, in some cases, immigrants are performing jobs that Americans just won't do, but we need to get them done. They have to be done. So they are filling the gaps. Last but most importantly, this is more on a somber note, but immigrants are performing dangerous jobs like working construction on the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, where the latest report notes all the construction workers killed when a container ship struck the bridge and it fell. They were all immigrants. So as we want to build a wall and we want to vilify and we want to talk about murders and rapists and all that other stuff, we have to remember there's a balance there. And yes, we do have to do something about immigration. It can't be a free flow. That's very hard. But what we need to do is we need to understand that there is a need from our standpoint, and they're filling those gaps and they're driving the economy, and they're probably making half that of what American would make in that position.
Fill the gap, Chad. Fill the
I'm
gap.
All about
what
it.
What are you doing, step bro?
I enjoy flipping from Fox to MSNBC, and the perspective on the border on each is very, very different.
Oh, look, God, yes.
I don't disagree that there's some issues at the border. There's some people come on. Like, I think there's a concerted effort to like fuck shit up. The fentanyl thing is real. Those drugs coming into the country, like, that's a thing. But the bigger picture is America needs people. I know you like to talk about the world needs less people, and that's fine if productivity
the earth would love us so much more.
Here or there, we have systems in place that rely on more people at the bottom of the pyramid than there are at the top the pyramid, and that's becoming inverted depending on what country you're in, and that creates some real problems. We need people to make shit, we need people to buy shit, we need people to support the things that we do in this country. And if we're not having babies the way that we used to, those people need to come from somewhere. Frankly, as American, we should be pretty happy that we're a place that people want to come, because there are a lot of places in the world that people do not want to migrate. They do not want to go. Like, America is still a place where the perception is, if I work hard, I obey the law, I will have a better life, and my children will have a better life, and we will, you know, we will be citizens that are a plus instead of a minus on society. And that is still the majority of people that are walking through war zones and fighting famine and disease and full families coming to this country because they think there's a better life here. And in many cases that there is. So let's stop vilifying immigration.
Yeah.
Yes, there are problems to fix. Yeah. There are gaps to fill, as you say. Mm-hmm. But this is the number one issue in our country. this will be the presidential election. If it were held today, this would be the number one issue on the ballot. And I think that vilifying it has been horrible. By and large, these are really good people that are struggling that want to come to this country, make be productive and be a plus on it. And we need to stop focusing on the 5% or whatever that want to like burn the whole place down. Amen.
Amen. Amen. But right, the question is next. Will cars build themselves? Go ahead.
Will cars build themselves? Yes. Let's go back to bots killing all of us. So back in January, reports surfaced that BMW's South Carolina plant would be testing robot workers. Fast forward to today, and it looks like those rumors are true. We're seeing TikToks and other social media pundits show videos of a robot that looks has arms and legs like a human. It interacts with a human being who says, I'm hungry. What would you give me? And there's an apple on the table. So the robot knows apple, give to the table. It puts, it'll put dishes in racks. It will like, it sort of is, I want to say it's like, it kind of knows, it can kind of process this stuff. And BMW is putting these robots in its factories, to build cars. Your thoughts on the impending robotic, takeover, Chad?
Yeah. My cousin works in that plant.
South Carolina?
Yeah, he works in that plant. He's worked there for well over a decade, probably 2 decades. And I asked him, I'm like, are you worried about this? He's like, hell no, we can't find people in the first place. It's the immigration, it's the balance, it's all of this. And as we start to take a look at some companies who are, you know, paying immigrants underneath the table, which means no taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Then we have AI and robots taking jobs. What about the taxes there? We're going to have to restructure how we deal with the border, how we deal with taxes, what jobs actually look like. Are they remote? Are they hybrid? Are they this? Are they that? We have a lot of work to do. And I don't think it's smart and or safe for us to hope that politicians make the right decisions there, right? I think as mm-hmm. experts in the space, we need to definitely have these conversations. We need to have more of these conversations to ensure that, you know, dumb decisions aren't made moving forward, right? They need to have the adults in the room.
I couldn't help but watch and wonder how long it'll be before an affordable robot is on the market that can clean my toilets on a regular ongoing basis. But that's just me.
Talking about Christine giving you an ultimatum of why leaving you. You got to clean your own toilet.
Let's not talk about what Christine is giving me or not giving me, Chad. So part of me wants to temper my fear/enthusiasm for this stuff. I mean, we've been talking about self-driving cars for over a decade. It doesn't seem like they're going to be on the market anytime soon.
Elon's still pushing.
Google's creating pictures of black Nazis on their AI stuff. So there's a lot of work left to be done. But then I think about the famous Ernest Hemingway quote when they asked him how he went bankrupt. His comment was two ways, slowly and then all of a sudden. So I feel like this thing keeps building. It's flipping burgers. It's making tacos. Yep. It's you're making cars. One of these days we're going to look up and this stuff is going to happen quickly because it's past all the regulation stuff or it's finally hit a tipping point of evolution and the robots are going to be here. I don't know when, but at some point it's going to happen quickly and we're going to look up and go, holy shit, robots are everywhere. They're doing a lot of stuff. My only concern is the speed at which this is going to happen. Human beings aren't built to scale like this. No. When the car was introduced, it took decades before the car fully became the car, right? People had some time to adjust. I think UBI has to be on the table at some point. People that are displaced are going to have some sort of a welfare, upskilling, educational resources. We're going to have to really rethink how we're training our people and taking care of our people. But if this is going to happen, it's just a matter of when. And get yourself ready. Get yourself on LinkedIn Learning and get them badges, people, because you're going to have some new skills or learn to podcast or some shit.
Continuous something that doesn't learning.
Take something that doesn't take a lot of intelligence. Just become a podcaster.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
All right, Chad, I know you've been missing some OnlyFans news.
Dude, I was at the red light district. I was not missing OnlyFans.
Florida keeps Florida-ing.
Yes.
I made that one up. A controversy at Liberty Christian Preparatory School in Orlando has led to the expulsion of 9 students over a sticker on mom's car promoting her OnlyFans account. Did I just read that? Oh, my yeah. God. All right. My kids are going to listen to these shows when I'm dead. All right. The mother, Michelle Klein, was asked to park off campus due to the sticker, and the situation escalated when another mother complained about it on TikTok. Yeah, the subtle, like, face-to-face complaint was enough. She had to take it to TikTok. Okay. Oh, yeah. So both mothers' children were expelled. Oh, that's nice. The parents fight and the kids get in trouble. And they were given conditions for their children to be re-enrolled. The children have since been homeschooled, and I'm sure they're getting a top flight education from their mothers. Chad, what is the world coming to?
Yeah, I just have to figure out what mobile home park these guys are out of. It's Florida. I mean, they're full of them. Liberty, is it a high school?
Liberty Christian Preparatory. You can't write this shit.
This is
a Netflix comedy waiting to happen.
It's just the crossover of all of this shit. You know, it's like, I want to send my kid to a good school. This one happens to be a Catholic school, a Christian school, whatever it is, right? And then, but, you know, on my time off, I've got a little OnlyFans happening.
Hey, those private schools aren't cheap. You gotta find the money somehow.
You gotta do something, right? So yeah, it is interesting. It is very, very interesting and funny. That's what
Doesn't
I like.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
So we're on a podcast. You can't see it, but the sticker, it looks like a home, like she bought it on some online service. It covers the entire back window. This isn't like a bumper sticker with my OnlyFans URL. She bought like a billboard sized OnlyFans site, and she's driving around with children, apparently, promoting her site. So there you go. OnlyFans, we talked about it a while back. They brought a new CEO. They wanted to go legit. They wanted people like normal sort of online celebrities to get on and make money through subscriptions or whatever. I think going legit is out the door for OnlyFans. And part of their going legit thing was like, we need to go public at some point and make a ton of money, which they would based on their, if you're watching on YouTube, Chad has pulled up the car, literally a Dodge Caravan. OnlyFans.
Piper Fawn.
Piper Fawn.
It has like racing stripes. I mean, it's, yeah. This thing lives in a mobile home park somewhere.
Landing strips, racing stripes, whatever. Take your pick. They can kiss the public markets goodbye. Unless, of course, they get Trump involved and he joins OnlyFans, and then they get a SPAC. and go public that way. Their ticker symbol could be DTBJ. You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump, BJ. All right. That's we out.
Wow. Look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuggleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.